on your computer.
Okay, everybody. This is the first of a series of three classes, and they can only be seen in their entirety as a group of three. You will have many questions, which I won't take it, but we will have many questions which will... What's the matter? Yes. You'll have many questions which come up along the way, which I'll be very happy to answer, but you need to keep your questions... Write your questions down. I won't take questions as I go along, because many of those questions will be answered once you get through the sources and you understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going to. A few preliminary comments. Number one, I'd like you please to forget everything you ever learnt about SNEAS anywhere on a halachic level before you came into this class. Then I can at least start on an even playing field and start from a position at least where I can assume you don't have too many misconceptions. The second thing I want to say is, and by the way, I really mean that. Don't ask me questions on what you think you've learned. Let's learn it together, and then you can ask questions on the basis of what we've learned together. The second thing is, I'm not here to teach you the hashkafot of tzniut, of which there are many. I'm here to teach you halacha. That's what I was asked to do, a halachic, source-based approach to Hilchos Tzniut, which I think is hopefully a useful addition to what you've had from other people. I am sure that you've had different classes from teachers, probably women teachers, which is exactly how it should be, on the hashkafot of tzniut, on the background ideas behind tzniut, on chizukin, how to achieve tzniut in different ways. They're all very important. I'm not diminishing those, but I'm not here to teach you those or to talk about those. So that's an important point. I'm also, in fairness, not here to teach you how you should dress or how you should not dress. That's not my aim. And it's not just about dress, as we'll see clearly. I'm not here to necessarily teach you halacha lemaisa. I'm not here to paskin shilas as to, well, is this okay, is that okay? You'll hopefully understand when you hear what I've got to say that what I'm trying to give you is a structure to the halacha so that you'll know how to ask intelligent questions and you'll know where things come from in an intelligent and thought through way. Obviously, there'll be practical things that come up as we go along, and we'll talk about them, but I'm not really here to tell you what you should and shouldn't do as much as to help you understand the way to ask the proper questions. Okay, does everyone have the sheets? Just the last people who just walked in late, do you have the sheets? Okay, just take this and then we'll really need to start. Okay, fine. Now, I have divided this into three classes. And much of the practical stuff will start to come out in class 2 and class 3. But for now, just understand that the practical halachic or the structural halachic framework of Hilchos Tzniut, I'm divided into 6 at the beginning. Okay? Have a look at this first page where I've got the English there. And I'd like you to be able to divide these in your mind so that you understand their different aspects. They do all impact on each other and they come together in the end. But separate them so you don't get them confused. The first halacha, which we're going to deal with mostly today, is the general concept of tzniyas as paskened at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, which is equal and equally applicable to men and to women, and is not limited to dress, or apply, although it does apply and include dress. This is the concept of self-dignity, of the idea of what we'll see, hinenei v'chadri chadorim, not to pretend that there's nobody watching, even when you're on your own, to understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Malachala Oriz Kvoidoi. And you'll see how that goes into the halacha of Tzniyas at the beginning, and it will explain certain halachas at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, where he brings these halachas of Tzniyas, and explain what they're all about. That's the backdrop to the whole thing. That's what I'll be dealing with today. And again, that applies equally to men, equally to women. Then the second part, we have to deal with specific issues of dress, and Tzniyut in terms of women's tzniut. And that appears in the Gemara in Ksubas when it deals with those people who lose their Ksubah or don't lose their Ksubah, and that is ruled in Shulchan Aruch in a certain place. It's ruled in Evan Ezer, in Kuf Ted Vav, and we'll talk about that next time. That is specifically looking at Dat Yehudit. What is Dat Yehudit? What is Dat Moshe? What are the halachas of tzniut as they pertain to dress for men and for women, but specifically for women? That has got nothing to do with Erva. Erva is a third topic, which is not to be confused with Sniut. Erva and Sniut are not the same thing. They interact on a certain level. But the third topic are the halachas of Erva, which are really men's halachas. When men can say brachas, when men can daven, when men can learn Torah, and what they're looking at and what they're not looking at, etc. These do not primarily focus on the way women should dress, in terms of Hilchos Sneas. So if people start to teach Sneas to you as covering Erva, that I would hold is a complete mistake. It comes into the picture, but that is not where Sneas comes from. And we'll see that as a third issue. By the way, the approach that I give you here is the approach of my Rebbe Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, and I tried very carefully to be very faithful to what he says. Okay? So hopefully very little of this is coming from me, although I can't promise you he'd agree 100% with every word that I'll say, but I'm trying very hard to give you over his approach. And separating Erva and Sneas is very important, and I would suggest to you that most people do not do that, and that's a mistake. Then I brought you 4, 5, and 6. There are all sorts of halachas of sexuality, which again is something different. Sexuality in terms of what people should be looking at, what people should be thinking about, and they apply to men and to women, although largely focused on men. That's another area of halacha in Shulchan Aruch somewhere else. Then we've got 5, which is lifnei iver, meaning whatever you're doing in life, you shouldn't be doing it in a way which causes other people to do averas. Whatever it is. Whether it's the way that you serve food, whether it's the way that you invite people on Shabbos, and it's true of the way that you dress as well. But again, the halachas of lifnei iver, if you address in a certain way and you cause other people around you to do averas by looking in the way that they shouldn't be looking, that's not hilchos sneas. That's hilchos lifnei iver lo yisitin michshol, which comes into it on an angle, which we'll see how that fits in. But again, if you ever sit and learn hilchos sneas and you think the reason women dress in such a way is in order that the men don't do averas, which I think a lot of people do think, that's a mistake. That's part of the halachic picture, but that's not where Hilchos Sneas comes from. That's Hilchos Lifnei Iver, and we'll get to that when we get to that. And finally, I brought you number 6, Avas Reim. There is a mitzvah doraisa v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. People forget about that, and that works both ways. It's a mitzvah not to treat other people in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated, which means that men have to be super sensitive the way they talk to women about sneers, the way they deal with sneers. That is a halacha on men to deal with other people, in this case women, in an incredibly sensitive and thought-through way, just because of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And equally, it is a halacha on women to be sensitive to the issues that may be raised if they dress in a certain way in front of men, or other women for that matter, because a lot of other women get very upset about the way people dress. It goes both ways. Each party has to be sensitive to the other. That's not nice midas. That's a mitzvah doraisa. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And I think that is often forgotten about in Hilchos Sneas, in just the way that people deal with each other, again, going both ways, both in the way that people deal with women who are dressed in a certain way, and the way that women who dress in a certain way fail to take into account the sensitivity needed for others. So, they are the 6 introductory areas. I'm going to focus today, for the rest of today, everything I say applies equally to men and women. Just for today. Next time we'll look more specifically about women, but everything I say for the rest of today is equally on men and women. Now, where is the mitzvah of sneas in the Torah? If I were to ask you for a posuk, now many people start saying about snei aleches, which is a posuk in Micha, we'll see. That's not a posuk in the Torah, that's a posuk in the Navi. And therefore that can't be the source of a Torah mitzvah. Have a look at number 1. This is quite well known. I think quite a lot of people do know this. There'll be a special place outside the camp. This is a posuk here in Dvarim, Chaf Gimel. V'yatzata shama chutz, and you'll go out there. What was that for? V'yatzeti yelecha lozenecha, you will have a special spade, a special shovel on your military equipment. V'aya b'shiftecha chutz, when you go out to use the bathroom in the middle of a war. Have you ever wondered how soldiers go to the bathroom? You're in a tank, you're on the front line, you still need to go to the bathroom. You can't avoid that. I would have thought probably in many war situations you go to the bathroom a lot more than you would in normal, relaxed household situations. So what are you going to do? Go out, v'chafartaba, dig a little hole, v'shafta, v'kisisa etseitzecha, and then cover over what you have to do. Why? Why is the Torah telling me how to go to the bathroom? And why is it telling me in a war? Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech b'kerev machanecha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your camp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds us on every level. We'll talk about what that means soon. La'atzilcha, to save us in the war. And to give our enemies in front of us. And therefore your camp must have kedusha, must have holiness, sanctity, whatever that means, we'll see that soon. Don't let any, now how do you translate the word ervas davar? Any unseemly, inappropriate thing, any like crude, vulgar thing should not be seen. V'shav ma'acharecha, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave us. That's the posik there. They're the two psukim. Keep the battlefield bathroom clean. Okay? That's the mitzvah. From this mitzvah, many of the Rishonim learn out the mitzvah d'oraita of tznius, which is very interesting. And it's nothing to do with women, it's nothing to do with clothing, it's to do with awareness. That's the first point I wanted to make. An awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, is everywhere. Malach al ha'aretz kevoidoi. And if you behave, and this is an important introductory point, if you behave even in a situation of a battle, which is very stressed, and you could be excused for behaving like a behemoth, because everywhere around you, everyone else is behaving like a behemoth. Do you know how many women, Loyalein, will get raped during wars? Unbelievable numbers of women. People are behaving like behemoths. People have lost their dignity. People are getting blown to pieces around you. The guy that was standing next to you 2 minutes ago is now, like, not there anymore. He's been blown up. You might be excused for saying, oh, you know something? Who cares? I'm just, you know, in a war situation. The Torah is saying no. You have a sense of dignity. Why? Because if you don't understand your own dignity, you're denying your Tzelem Elokim. You're denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present, even in these emergency situations. I remember when I was at school, I had to read, we had to study All Quiet on the Western Front. You ever studied that? Very interesting book by a German soldier in the First World War, written about his experiences on the front line in the trenches. And I remember one of the most striking things when I was a kid, I was only like 14, 15, reading about, he was talking about the dehumanization of war and how they were turned from people into kind of mini machines. And one of the most dehumanizing things is then when they were all forced to go to the bathroom together, all the guys together. Yeah, not number ones, number twos, yeah? Everyone has to sit in the side of the room. And he said that feeling of the most private thing that you have to do in the most public way, he said that just dehumanized them completely. It was very interesting. He wasn't talking about sneers. He was just talking about being in a war. But it's very interesting that it picks up on what the Pasuk is saying, and I want to come back to that as we understand. So keep the sense of dignity of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu being everywhere. That's the first Pasuk. Also, we see number two. Higid lecha Adam. Tell me, he says, Ma atoiv, ma Hashem doirish mimcha, what does God want from us? Ki asois mishpat, to be fair, ava sedek, to be kind, that snei aleches im elokecha, and to be tsanua. Here the word tsanua appears. Do you know the word tsanua or tsniut only appears once or twice? Twice, I think, in Tanakh. Okay? It appears here, and it appears in Mishlei here, where it talks about snuim chochma. There's a chochma to tsniut. It's very hard to define the word tsniut. But walk in some way with Hashem, which is tsanua. And it's interesting that the word tsanua is used in the Mishnah to mean people who are aware, people who are conscious. It's very interesting. Have a look at number four. This is a halacha. I'm not going to get into the details of this halacha. It's talking about a certain kind of produce, the produce that grows in the fourth year of a tree. Okay? You can't eat it. You have to take it in Eretz Israel, you have to take it up to Yerushalayim, you have to redeem it, it's a bit like Masa Sheni, etc. It's dealing with a very technical halacha, which is that in the Shemitah year, when everyone is allowed to go into everybody else's fields, because everything is hefka, and they're allowed to take the fruit, how are you going to tell people that the fruit that they're taking actually is not available for eating, they have to redeem it on money, and they have to take it to Yerushalayim? How are you going to put a sign up? How are you going to communicate that? So have a look at number four. Again, I'm only getting this halacha, bringing you this halacha for the purpose of understanding the word snuim. Kerem revai matsniim, okay, matsayanim, oisab kazoizis adama. This particular kind of vineyard, you have to put a sign up with a certain kind of dirt to show people that it's not available to eat, they have to do something with it. Fine. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the madvar mamurim b'shvius. This is in the Shemitah year, when everybody's going into everyone else's field, therefore you have to warn them. And now the Mishnah says, V'hatsnuim, those people who are tsnua, what do they do? Menichin es hamos, they put aside money in the house. Va'omrim kol nilkat mizeh yehei mechulal al maas ha'elu. Okay, they say, they prepare in advance. They say this money is already going to be used for the people who are eating this fruit, and therefore they don't have to worry. They'll be able to take it to Yerushalayim, etc., etc., etc. All I'm bringing you here is the word tsnuim is here used not for people who are modest, but for people who are careful, who are aware, who are conscious. It's a consciousness issue. And I want to show you the Rambam in number 5, who builds upon this and says, Ukfar bi'arishet tsnuim, who are tsnuim, hey medak dekim be'isurim. These are people who are medakdek in mitzvahs. People who are careful in mitzvahs. So the word tsnua is used in the Tanakh and is used in Chazal in slightly different ways than you'd expect. It's not about dress, it's not about modesty, it's about awareness. And that's why I wanted to bring you these halachas, because the first halacha of tsnius we'll see in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch itself is an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not hashkofa, that's halacha, and you'll see how it comes in a few minutes. Now, have a look at how this is brought down in the Sefer Mitzvah HaKotan, number 6. There's a mitzvah, he counts the 613 mitzvahs, and he says, Lihiyos tsanua. There's a mitzvah to be tsanua. I bet you could take 900, 1,000 people who grew up with a Jewish education in the street to one side and ask them, where is the mitzvah in the Tariag mitzvahs to be tsanua? Which mitzvah is it? And I bet very few of them would actually know it. This should be the first thing that people understand, that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, lihiyot tsanua, dichsiv, as it says, v'ayom machanecha kodesh, this awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in the camp. Keep the battle room, bathroom clean. Uksiv, and it says later in Micha, v'atznei alechesim elokecha, v'arm rechachamim, ein tsanua, the chachamim said, a person is not tsanua, ela hatsanua bebeis akite, unless they're tsanua in the toilet. Where is tsnius most found? In the bathroom. In the bathroom. Where did they get this idea of the bathroom? Camp. From the camp. From the pasuk. V'hanifne b'alayla, someone who uses the bathroom at night time, yifne kederech shehu nifne b'yayim, should use it in the same way they'd use it at daytime. B'garo lefanav tefchayim, v'acharav tefach, there are halachas in the Shulchan Aruch about how to use the bathroom. I'm not getting into the details because it depends on the kind of clothing that you wear, and it may be that their kind of clothing demanded a certain kind of behavior that ours doesn't. The point here is, it's saying that if it's dark and there's nobody that could possibly see you, don't behave in a way which is different from the way that you'd behave if it was light and you knew there were people around. And don't uncover yourself more than necessary. And also in terms of sexuality, in terms of the way that the husband and wife interact in the most private areas in the bedroom, you have to be tsanua. And from here we learn all things for tzniut, but lo bepritzut. You should be tzanua and not bepritzut. What does pritzut mean? Pritzus. What does it mean? It doesn't mean revealing. But literally, what does it mean? Lifrot geder. It means to break through. It's to break through a boundary. There should be some kind of a boundary there, some kind of awareness, and you've broken that down. Okay? He is learning, one second, he is learning that the two main areas of tzniut are in the bathroom and in the bedroom, in the marital bedroom. Okay? And therefore, that takes us out to the other halachas of tzniut, but you see whether they're based. The commentary number 7 on the Smack, on the Sefer Mitzvah Zakotan, which is contemporaneous from Rabbeinu Peretz, he expands that out to the way a Talmud Chacham behaves. Look at number 7. A Talmud Chacham she'ein anoig ba'atma b'tzniyot. A Talmud Chacham who doesn't behave with a tzniyot, chayiv misa. He's chayiv misa. B'fisha marchik lebriyo me'avat ha'Torah. Because he's distancing other people from Torah. So from this basic halacha, and this way the Talmud Chacham dresses, the way he behaves, etc., etc., he's pushing people away from Torah by not being tsanua. And I want to understand why that is. Understand what the basic issue is. So, look in the Shulchan Aruch. Now we get to halacha in practice. Where do you find Hilchot Tznius in the Shulchan Aruch? We get our halacha mostly from the Shulchan Aruch. So there are 2 or 3 places in the Shulchan Aruch where Tznius is brought, and that's where I want to structure this shira. Source number 8 is the first halacha, Aleph Aleph, the very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Look how it starts. Shvisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Do you want a sheet? You got one? Shvisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. You have to have a consciousness of Hashem in front of you always. What does that mean? So read what it says. Okay? Who else needs a sheet? Okay, just pass that for now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you got it?
Fine. Source number 8. Shizi Hashem Negi Tamid. Who klal gadol b'Torah? This is a very important principle in Torah. What does it mean, Shvisi Hashem and Negdi Tamid? What does it mean? I set God before me always. Okay, I set God in front of me always. What does that mean? Who klal gadol b'Torah u'b'malas ha-tzadikim? This is a very important principle in Torah and the ways of tzadikim. Hashem holchim lifnei Elokim, who walk before God. Ki ein yeshivat ha'adam v'tanusav v'tanuasav v'asakav v'hu levadoi b'beitzoi. A person's behavior and their business when they're sitting on their own in the house is not the same ki shivasa v'tanuasav v'asakav v'hu lifnei melech gadol as when they're in front of someone of great importance. Okay? V'loi diburoi v'harchavos piv, and the way they speak k'utsoinoi v'hu im anshei beisa v'kroiva, when they're sitting with their friends and messing around, is not the same kidiburu b'moishev ha-melech when they're sitting in front of a king. There's a way that you speak when you think people are listening, and there's a way that many people speak when they think no one's listening. Kol shekein, all the more so. Shiasim ha-adam al-libo, the person should put in their mind, she-ha-melech ha-gadol ha-kodesh baruch hu, that there is a great king, ha-kodesh baruch hu, ha-she-malach ha-la-oretz kvoido, who fills the entire world, the entire universe. Oymed alav, aroi b'masav, ha-kodesh baruch hu is standing over us and watching us. Not in a pagan sense, that we think that there's a big eye in the sky and like thunderbolts are going to come down if we make the wrong move. That's not what it means. It's an awareness of the reality of Ruchnius. That it's not a game. It's real. There's a reality to it. Mitzvah creates life and Aveira creates the opposite. It's that awareness, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomit. He says here, K'moshe Ne'emar, Im Yisrael, and he brings the Pasuk, etc., etc. And then, if you think about that at the end of the line, miyad yegia elav hayira, then you'll feel yira shemaim, the hachnar, and a sense of humility, the pachad Hashem yisbarach hu boishdo mimene tamid, and you'll be constantly aware and embarrassed, not embarrassed because you did something wrong, but aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. This is from the Mor Nevuchim. The first quote of the Ra in the Shulchan Aruch is from the Mor Nevuchim. And then he says, v'gamat tznei aleches, which also means you have to be tsanua. Okay, and when you lie down in your bed at night, yeda, you should know who you're lying in front of. What does this mean in practice? What does that mean? When you lie down in your bed at night, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the room, as it were. Does that mean you have to dress in bed the way that you dress on the bus? Is that what it means? How do you dress in the shower? When you're aware, maloi chala aretz kvoidai. How do you dress in the shower? You wear a tichel and a house coat. That's how frum ladies dress in the shower. But come on, maloi chala aretz kvoidai. The whole world is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you not do that? Clearly, that's not the case. And we'll see from the Mishnah Berurah how he explains that's not the case. This awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world is basically telling us, don't think because nobody's watching that nobody's watching. And we'll talk about this more as we go through this class, but the bottom line is like this. If you'd be embarrassed that people knew that you behave in a certain way, but you behave that way because nobody knows, and nobody can see you, and no one's going to find out, and that's why you behave that way, that's a breach of this basic halacha of tznius. Because who do you think? What do you think? Malach halar is kvoido. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. You think you're hiding somewhere? That's not the way it is. And therefore, what's going to be is, whichever is the appropriate way to behave, wherever you are, and in different situations, there's a different appropriate way to behave. There's one way to be dressed and behave on the bus. There's another way to be dressed and behave when you're hanging out in your house in the evening. There's a different way to be dressed in the bedroom and behave in the bedroom. There's a different way to be in the toilet. There's a different way to be in the shower. Whichever way you're meant to be in that place, then be that way. And if you're not being that way, if you think you can be a different way because nobody else is watching, that's it. And we'll see how that comes out. This is the breach of tznius that he's talking about. Have a look here as we go through into number 10. Where does the Shulchan Aruch say to be tzanua? In the bathroom. You hate tzanua. You have to be tzniut in the bathroom. He says, I'm bebrocha, says the bir halacha. How do we know this halacha of tznius? He brings brochas, samach bet, amud aleph, okay, and amud bet. The maflik ha-gemorah b'midas ha-snias, the Gemara treats tznias so seriously. Why? Ubesmak, mainet tznias b'mitzvah doraisa, because the smack brings it as a mitzvah doraisa. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch brings in number 11, yehei tzanua ma'oid b'shas tashmish, you have to be tzanua in the bathroom, you have to be tzanua in the bedroom, all of those things which we've seen clearly are the basic halachas of tznias. By the way, there's a very interesting Gemara in Brochus in number 12. It says, Hahu saftana, there was a man giving a hesped. You know, at a funeral, there was a dead body lying there, and a person's giving a hesped about the person. The Nachis Kamei de Rav Nachman, he was in front of Rav Nachman, Amar, and he said, Hait tsanua bar chaysaf. This man who died was so tsanua. This man was so tsanua. You know, they say nice things about you. All these beautiful things. No one ever did anything wrong in their life when it comes to a hesped. Yeah? And he says, he was such a big tsanua. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to him, excuse me. At least Bahadela Beisakise, did you ever go to the toilet with him? Biyadati it tsanua Eloi? You know if he was a tsanua? How do you know if he was a tsanua? Well, he dressed nicely in public. He always behaved on his best behavior. He was very dignified. Excuse me, he says. You don't know if he was a tsanua. How did he behave when there was nobody watching? How did he behave when he thought there was nobody else there? If you know how he behaved, which of course you can never, because there was someone else there, unless you had a CCTV kind of, you know, hidden at the back of the bathroom, which I don't suggest you do, by the way, okay? You will never know how he behaved. The Tanya ain't Korin Tanua, Elamisha Tanua, but Beisakise, the Gemara says, you're not called a Tanua unless you are Tanua in private when there's nobody else there. In other words, if you behave a certain way in public, just because people are watching, then it's all a show. It's just a sham. You don't really have any personal dignity. You're only doing it for other people. You ever heard people curse, say a really bad swear word, and then they look around and you're there, they say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know there was someone there. Like, and if there isn't someone there, it doesn't make any difference. You can say what you like. There's no rules if there's nobody there. You can just let everything go, you know, fly to the wind and do what you like. It's a funny thing. People often think that way, but this seems to be the basic halacha of tznias. Of course, not only, but that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because they're embarrassed that you know they speak that way. Not because they don't want to upset you. Yeah? You know, it's like people are screaming at their kids. They're screaming and shouting at their kids. And then the phone rings and they go, hello? It's like a different face. Like, why don't they pick up the phone and go, I'm screaming at my kids and the kids are driving me crazy. Why don't they do that? Why don't people scream at their kids in public? They wait till there's nobody there, then they scream at their kids. Because they know it's beneath them. They know it's not dignified. But they'll do it when nobody's watching. That's this halacha. But they don't want people to know that they scream at their kids. That's a lack of tzniut. It's a basic because you're only doing it for a show. Yeah. Again, would you be embarrassed that people know that when you're upset you cry in the bathroom? The answer is no, because that's what people do when they're upset. You know, that's a private thing. Everyone has private moments. That's not embarrassing. No one would think surprised to know that when you're upset you cry. On the contrary, if you never cried when you're upset, that's a problem. That's not it. And again, it's not that you have to behave the same in all the places. It's just that there's a way to behave. You'll get a little bit more of a feeling for this. What about Kimchis? You heard of Kimchis?
Yeah.
What's her big thing?
She had
seven sons who were. Because she never uncovered her hair. What do you learn from this?
Don't uncover your hair.
What else do you learn from this? Well, not necessarily. Maybe they were on duty, off duty. There's all sorts of reasons why she may have had seven sons who are Kohanim Gedolim. Have a look in number 14. Very famous. 13. Very famous Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Shivam banim hayola le Kimchis. Kimchis had seven sons. V'kulam shimshu b'kunu gohuna gedoyla. They all were kohanim gedoylim. Amrula, which is a big schus. Assuming they didn't die, but it's a big schus. Amrula chachamim. The chachamim said to her, Ma atzit shezechit lekach. What did you do that was so special that you got this big schus? So what did she say to them? Amrulahim, she said to them, Mi amai, in all my life, loy ra'u koras besi, kalai sa'ari. The beams of the house never saw the braids of my hair. Meaning what? She covered her hair in the house. What did the rabbi say back to her? Amrullah, they said to her, really? Harbi Asukain. Lots of people do that. v'loi ha'ilu, and they never had sons that were kohenim gedolim. So it can't just be that. You hear the answer? She says to her, I never uncover my hair in the house. And they answer her, they said to her, lots of people don't uncover their hair. And by the way, so you have to understand, what they're saying to Kimchis, it's not, come on Kimchis, it's not just about your hair covering. There's something else going on here. Because other women go through that game too. They don't uncover their hair when they're in the house, but they never got this fuss. Look at the version of this Gemara in the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi number 14, she says, the same Gemara, but he adds two words. Imrau koris besi, the beams of my house never saw saros roshi, the hair of my head, the imras chaluki, and the hem of my skirt. Meaning, I was never anything but properly dressed, even in the house. It wasn't just about hair. It's like a din in hair covering. People quote Kimchis as that hair covering is the ultimate, everything trumps everything. We'll see, there's a mitzvah deraita to cover your hair once you're married. There are women, and I kid you not, that will go on a mixed beach and wear a bathing suit, but wear a snood and not uncover their hair.
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge anybody, but I'm saying the reason that they do that is because they've got this whole thing rather kind of upside down. They think that there's something about the hair which is defining whether they're tsanua or not, but actually they've lost sight of the fact, well, hello, you're on a mixed beach in a bathing suit, what's that got to do with, like...
I see women on a separate beach
who wear... Oh, that's a different question. That's a different question. Again, Kimchis, what is the thing with Kimchis? What's the deal with Kimchis? She had an incredible sense of self-dignity. She wasn't prepared to behave in the house in a way that she felt was not totally dignified. This is not the halacha, by the way. We don't learn the halacha from Kimchis. There is no requirement to walk around your private home when there's nobody there, either with your hair covered, even if you're married, or not showing the hems of your skirt. Like, you don't have to be dressed in the middle of your house the way that you dress in the street. That's not the halacha. But Kimchis is not just going through the motions. That's why the rabbis challenged her. It's clear that you're not just going through the motions, because the women who do go through the motions, they don't have this chutz. And therefore, with all of that in mind, learn this really interesting halacha, with which we'll finish. We've got 10 minutes, and it'll take us out to learn this halacha, in 15 and 16. Then you'll know where we're coming from. So it's like this. Lo yilbash chalukai meyushav. Don't put on your clothes in bed when you're sitting up. The assumption was that people went to bed without pajamas on. There is no halacha that says you have to wear pajamas underneath the covers of the bed. But these days people wear pajamas. It just makes life easy from different perspectives. But let's say they wore no pajamas. So how are they going to get dressed in the morning, says Shulchan Aruch? You're going to just get out of bed and go to your cupboard and put all your clothes on? He says, no, get dressed under the covers. And again, before you ask, is this... A lot of people in hot countries, not everybody wears pajamas. I don't know what people do. I've never done a survey, Danielle. Okay? But different people wear different things in bed. Lo yilbash chalukah miyushav. Okay, especially, don't forget, you know, poor people who are poor don't necessarily have five sets of pajamas, each with the day of the week written on the, you know, the top. Right? You know? Lo yilbash chalukah miyushav. Elayika chalukah, listen, take your clothing. V'yachnis boi, roisha, and put your head in it, v'zroisav, and your arms in it, but oidenu shoichiv, while you're still lying down, under the covers. This is talking to men and to women, it's not gender specific. V'nimsa, and then it'll come out, k'shiyaka, when you get up, tumchusa, that you're fully clothed, or you're clothed to some degree, not fully clothed, you're on everything under the bed. It'll come out, when you get out of bed, you've got clothes on. Okay, nice. Then he says, that, Al Yoma, because you shouldn't say, Hinene b'chedri chadorim. B'chedri chadorim. I'm in a very, very private place. Nirayini. Who can see me? No one can see me. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Al Haaretz Kvoido. This is Shulchan Aruch. Don't turn around and say, even if you think that if people knew, if your neighbors knew, that you walked around the house with no clothes on to get dressed, they'd be shocked and horrified. But you know something? They don't know. So who cares? They don't know. I'm in my own room. who cares, no one can see me, therefore I'll do something even though I know it's a deeply embarrassing thing to do. No, because malach ala aretz kvoido. Yeah. Ah, good. So what if you're the kind of person that says, you know something, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm going to be a behemah in the street. Never mind in my chadre chadore. Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. Hold that question. Yes? Right? Good. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah is going to pick up that point. Yes? No? Fine. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. This Mishnah Berurah is fascinating, and people misread it. It's quite long, but I want to read it carefully. Again, this is halacha. I'm giving you halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah. Why should you get dressed under the sheets, he says. Da'az, behechrek yigaleh gufa, because if you get up before you get dressed, you'll uncover your body. The ha'adam sarech lehit na'ek with sniut, and a person has to behave with sniut, and not walk around with their body uncovered. Again, he's talking about men and women. And they have to have a certain level of humility in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But afilu kushehu laila, even if it's nighttime, ubechadre chadorim, even if you're in a private room, v'halai malach ala aretz kvoido, the whole world is full of Hashem's covered, ukushechashecha ko'oire lefanav yisbaruch, light and day are all the same, night and day are all the same to Hashem, there's no difference in the light. V'kein, tzarech, and similarly, v'chein, tzarech, li'zai, tamid, machmas, tamzeh, you have to be very careful because of this reason, shalai b'makam hechrech, unless you can avoid it, if you can't avoid it, milagolos mi b'saro, to reveal any part of your flesh, any part of your skin, afilu ma'at, even a little bit, kol mashedarcho, and I've underlined this, that means it's important, kol mashedarcho li'is mechusay, anything that's normally covered, the begadim la'olam, with clothes always. Something that's always covered with clothes, you shouldn't allow to be uncovered, he says. Aval roishoi, but his head. Okay, rashai, excuse me, he's allowed. Legalai sibra yado, to uncover his hands. Ad koibdo, until his elbow. But savari on his neck. Ad chaze, until his chest. Al kain, he says, therefore. Ha'an folois, socks. When do you put your socks on, says the Mishnah Berurah? When should you put your socks on? Yirul alav sham. Olafashtam, you should always put your socks on, or take your socks off. Gamkein tachas asadin, also under the sheets. Shalala galas ragalav. So you shouldn't ever uncover your feet. You see? Put your socks on, take your socks off, underneath the sheets. Never walk around the house barefoot, even in the bedroom, even in the middle of the night, when nobody's there. Why? Shedarchan lius mechusos le'oilim b'medinus elu. And here's the key. And if you missed that last line, you missed the whole point. Yeah. Shedarkan liyos mechusas, because they are always covered, always la'olam b'medinas oli, in our countries. In other words, we never uncover our feet, says the Mishnah Berurah. We never uncover our feet, even when we're alone, even in the house. And therefore, if you do uncover your feet, it shows that you think that no one's watching, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. She'ein holchim yachev, because we don't go barefoot. Afilu b'kayitz, even in the summer. He lived in Radin. Okay, in the summer it was probably 2 feet of snow. It's not true, but it was still cold. V'chein, kol kiyoti bazeh. Im loy she'iyev she'en, anything similar, unless you have no choice. Be'edin acher. Oh, that's the point. Isn't that what he's asking? V'chein, and look what he says now. Let's finish it off and then I'll take some questions. V'chein v'beit ha'merchatz. Similarly in the bathhouse. Listen, in the shower he says, she'darchan kot shel b'nei adam leilech Sham Arumin, where it's normal to be completely naked in the bathhouse, in the shower. There's no other way to have a shower than with no clothes on. That's called Sanua. That's fine, because that's the way to be. There's no problem. You can walk around completely naked in the shower. That's not pritzas, because that's the way that you're meant to be. When you go swimming in the river, Hadin came, that's the din, halacha. Rakizah, livshoy, velilboish. You should try and take your clothes on, take your clothes off, put them on. Samach lana, near to the river. Kama she'efshe, as much as you can. Bekinesha lo yelech, begilu haguf shelo nitzareh. So you don't walk around naked more than you have to. Now, listen, before I take a question. Listen to what he said. Is the halacha that you have to put your socks on under the covers, or is that not the halacha? No, the answer is, if you live in a place where walking around the bedroom barefoot would be considered outrageous, then you better not do that because you think nobody's watching. But let me ask you a question. If you knew that your rabbis that teach you, before they go to bed at night, walk around from the bathroom to the bedroom without their socks on, would you consider that normal or abnormal behavior? Like, you would consider it totally normal. There is nobody, again, I've never done a survey, but walking around the house, for us, especially in our climate, but even in America, you've got carpets, this, that, walking around the house barefoot is normal behavior, isn't it? Maybe not when you're giving, you know, having a dinner party, okay? That's a bit peculiar. But when you're walking, when it's nighttime, when you're hanging out, I don't know, it's funny. What about when you're sitting reading the paper in the evening or reading a book on the sofa? Is that normal? I don't know. It depends on the society. But the point here is very straightforward. He's not telling you to put your socks on under the bed. He's telling you to do that if that's the way that people would normally do it, but you're cheating because you think nobody's watching.
So you don't have to get to the cupboard?
Oh, so that's the question. At what point do we turn around like Nava was saying and say, come on, you don't feel any busha? Maybe it's about time you learn a little bit of busha. Maybe there are people who will be happy to walk around completely naked all the time. That maybe there comes a point when we should teach people, actually, maybe you're not breaking this halakh. Embarrassed about, you know, other people more than Hashem, but maybe you should realize that there's like something else to it, just not just that.
But is the halakha then that you have to get dressed under the
covers? No, the halakha is not that you have to get dressed under the covers. The halakha is you have to get dressed in the normal way that respectable people get dressed and not do something different because you think nobody else is watching. Now, I don't know exactly what that is, and I'm not even sure that there's one rule for what that is. The main thing is it's you, it's about you. You have to ask yourself, am I doing something just because I think nobody else is there? And that's what I want you to learn as the basic initial halacha of tznius. Next time we'll start talking about how you dress in public. But unless you know this first yesod, you don't know what tznius is all about. Tznius in its most fundamental doraisa yesod is about personal dignity. And therefore everything goes down to this. If you're about to wear something and you look in the mirror and you think, is this right for me? Is this the way that I should be? If at the end of the day it's not, then it's not going to be tzanua. And it'll depend who you are, it'll depend where you live, it'll depend what age you are, it depends what kind of status in society you are. You all know this, it's perfectly tzanua for little children to run around naked in the garden, running in and out of the sprinklers. That's perfectly tzanua. It's not appropriate for them to do that when they're older. It's all dependent on certain factors and very subjective in this way. Once you understand this, then we can start talking next time about this kind of dress, that kind of dress, hair covering, the head covering and hair covering and head covering are two different things. They're not the same at all. Okay? But without this, you don't really have the basis. So just to recap and summarize and finish, there is a mitzvah, min ha-Torah of tzniut. It is a mitzvah to keep the battlefield bathroom clean, which means not to behave in a way that you think that nobody's watching, therefore that makes it okay, but to be aware of the reality of Ruchnias, that Malach Alar is Kvoido, that the whole world is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and your awareness of that is fundamental to your personal self-dignity, and that's what Sniut is. And if you want to be like a behemoth, then that's called Pritzut. Then we can talk about what goes on outside. Any questions? Yes. You wouldn't even care if there were... So then you're not breaking this halacha. But this is, then there are different halachas. But here we're talking about somebody...
How is that it's not that you're breaking the... If you're getting dressed in front of someone, and you're... How is that not breaking the halacha? You're comfortable with it.
You're comfortable or uncomfortable?
You're comfortable with it. So why is that making... Oh, now you're not breaking the halacha.
But again, would you be embarrassed if people knew that this is what you did, or you don't care?
Well, the point is that it's not here.
But again, there's a way to get dressed when there are people there. People get dressed in front of other people,
oh,
but...
Like, you're doing something you lack of sneers, and you
right.
don't have the crap on down for people.
Then both of you are lacking in sneers, because both of you would be embarrassed if other people
you
know.
If you're a lot, like, for saying, oh, the neighbor knew, that
right.
So you don't care if the neighbor knew.
You're, so I'm saying, so then, so would you do it in front of the neighbor as well? Really? I'm saying that if what you're saying is a different halacha, and we'll talk about more about that next time, some more objective standards. This, for now, is just talking about people who behave one way when people are watching or know about it, and another way people are not. You're right, today people have no busha at all. People can walk around the streets wearing swimsuits and they don't seem to realize that there's anything wrong with it whatsoever. I had a most surreal experience in Boca Raton. I'm sure Boca is a beautiful place, wonderful people and all that. I arrived after a 17-hour flight. It seemed to go on forever, whatever. I picked up my car. I went to stay with my next-door neighbors. I knocked on the door, yeah, and they weren't there after like a day in the sky and on the road and all that. And I was like this, and I'm knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And then the lady who lived next door came out, said, "What's wrong? Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm waiting for my friends." She goes, "Oh, yes, they told me you were coming. You're a rabbi." I said, "Yes, that's right." She goes, "I find it interesting. What do you do? Where do you live?" She had this like 15-minute conversation with me. She clearly was completely unaware that she had almost no clothes on whatsoever. I was more in shock, not at the fact that she was just wearing a bikini, but at the fact that she didn't seem to know. That she didn't say, "Oh, you're a rabbi, I'm sorry, you know, I can put something on," or like this, like it's just like, "Hi." It was a complete revelation to me on many levels. I just learned a lot about the culture, and therefore Boucher is a difficult thing. Yes. No, we'll talk about thoughts on the third session, but if you're planning to do an Avera but you don't do it, then there's an idea you don't get punished for that. But if the thinking itself is an Avera, that's a different thing. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that another time. Yes?
So, just to clarify, it's not
going to
be embarrassed to be walking around that fast in front of
them. Right. In other words, everyone will be embarrassed walking around in their underwear in the street. Of course they would. But that's not the point. There's a way to behave in the street. There's a way to behave in the house. There's a way to behave in the bedroom. Yeah, correct. Correct. Okay, your last point?
Yeah, but how do you make a differentiation between what's normal? Like, if you're going into that area like that, it's obviously, it's not embarrassing to be walking around. Like, let's say your home in your bikini, that's just the normal thing. So then, if it is the normal thing.
Oh, so maybe inside the home, if everybody knew that, how everybody behaved inside the home, maybe you could argue that. She was standing in the middle of the street, which are different halachas, which we'll get to next time, which are objective halachas. Okay? But in you're right. We'll talk about that. That's getting too technical for today. Okay? Can I leave it here for now? Okay. We'll leave it there for now, and we'll reconvene. Tomorrow is the next session, Be'ezrat Hashem.